إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد the chairman of this occasion His Excellency former executive governor of Nasarawa State Sir Kinyakin Kepi most distinguished senator of the Federal Republic of Nigeria Alhaji Abdullahi Adamu who has just taken his leave Your Royal Highness the Chief Hoff the Vice Chancellor of this great institution Nasarawa State University Professor M.A. Mainoma who to me is not only a teacher who taught me way back 1993 and supervised my MSc Accounting and Finance thesis and also recruited and recommended me for employment in Ahmadu Bello University Zaria in 2002. But also the person who made it compulsory for me to present the first academic conference paper in Kano in 2003. Mr. Vice Chancellor, sir, congratulations on your new position as Sheikh. You are welcome on board. My other teacher, who is also going to be the second presenter, Dr. Al-Kafawi, other distinguished guests, brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I was about to lodge a complaint to the chairman that the MC was not fair to me by calling me names that I believe I do not deserve. But the chairman, with due respect, seemed to add salt to injury. And for that reason, I had to decide not to formally lodge my complaint. I'm not unaware of the fact that time has gone and that two papers are to be presented. But alhamdulillah, since the slides have been printed and circulated at least a few copies, I will not take much of the time, but try to talk to the paper rather than read the paper. The paper is titled Islam and Fight Against or on the Fight Against Corruption in Nigeria. By way of introduction, let me remind us that corruption is not a new phenomenon. It has been there for centuries. In fact, about 2,000 years ago, a prime minister of an Indian king, Kausalya, discussed corruption and its menace in his book as a Shastra. When you Google the name of this book, you will see it's like a compendium on governance and responsibilities in governance. The English version is available online. Also, Dante, a major Italian poet of the late Middle Ages, was known for his vehement criticism of corruption in the Roman Catholic Church. Even Shakespeare did not spare corruption in many of his plays. In fact, the Arab Jahiliyyah, that is the time of the Jahiliyyah period before the emergence of our noble Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam as the last and final prophet, was also notorious for its corruption. But then, just as the chairman rightly pointed out, why is it that the issue of corruption has remained with us? And why is it that although corruption has been with us or has been around for the past 2,000 years, little is known about corruption until recently? Unlike before, the menace of corruption has now become more pronounced due largely to about six reasons. One, call for good governance. Everybody is now talking about good governance. And good governance has some pillars, some of which include accountability, responsibility, participation, rule of law, and efficiency in resource utilization. Because of this clarion call for good governance, people now are becoming more interested in knowing about mismanagement of both human and material resources. The second reason is economic crisis that has permeated the fabric of the world economy. This economic crisis has now necessitated countries to seek ways and means of blocking leakages. Another reason is end of Cold War, which stopped the political hypocrisy that made world leaders ignore its perpetrators in different countries. Information technology and globalization, democratic governance and active media, as well as activities of non-governmental organizations such as Transparency International, have also added credence to the need or the unprecedented attention that the issue of corruption has attracted in a recent past. The question is, what is this menace called corruption? Interestingly, corruption has no one meaning. Perhaps due to its several dimensions, as noted by my teacher, the Vice Chancellor of this university. But then, even with the various dimensions of corruption, we still find scholars having difficulty and challenges in defining the concept of corruption. For the purpose of this presentation, I intend to look at corruption from four angles. One, philosophically. Corruption is a spiritual or moral impurity that leads to deviation from the ideal with consequences on the individual and society. This definition has been given by philosophers and moral champions. Economically, corruption stands for acquisition or payment for services or materials which the recipient is not due under law, with affiliates such as bribery, kickback, or backshish. These three are components of corruption, but corruption is much more wider and more inclusive, more an umbrella term or concept than bribery or kickback or backshish. Politicians see corruption as abuse of public power for private benefit, either self-benefit or one party benefit, class tribe, friends, family, etc. This definition has been given or has been endorsed by the World Bank in 1997. The fourth perspective I want to look at corruption from is the Islamic perspective, which really is the essence of today's gathering. Corruption is an English word, as you know. Its Arabic equivalent is al-fasad, al-fasad. And from the point of view of Islam, literally connotes mischief. Mischief, abuse, rottenness, depravity, wickedness, viciousness, dishonesty, and perverseness. But technically, from the technical aspect of the word, that is istilahan, the word corruption refers to a broad range of behavioral degradations that threaten social, economic, and ecological balance of a society. Its root is threats to abuse of judicial or administrative power, or of political authority, trust, or financial prowess. Unlike what many of us seem to think, that when the term corruption is mentioned, we are talking about misuse of material resources only. The concept or term corruption is bigger than that. Its dimensions cut across all spheres of human life. And for that reason, in this paper, I managed to summarize the dimensions of corruption under six headings. One, political corruption that is being perpetrated by both the elected and the electorate. When you snatch election boxes, what have you done? Political corruption. Whether at the instance of your candidate or out of your own volition, what you have done is political corruption. When you try to bribe people to vote a candidate that is not their choice, you are committing political corruption. If you go on in the midst or company of gangsters to commit gangsterism during election or electioneering process, what you have done is political corruption. There is also bureaucratic corruption. As an office holder, you refuse to allow people to progress, or you refuse to recommend people who are due for promotion so they will be recommended, or access to your office is a tug of war. That is bureaucratic corruption. Or you are the one that is supposed to approve something or to pass on to the next person a particular file that is then circulated for approval, and you keep it under your carpet, or you put it inside your drawer and lock it. What you are doing is bureaucratic corruption. There is also economic corruption, and which is the most popular corruption today, or dimension of corruption that we discuss today, because the discussion will dwell more on this economic corruption. Towards the end of the paper, I don't have to give examples. There is also intellectual corruption, which is perpetrated by all the academicians, the academics, people who refuse to go to class and teach, people who refuse to supervise their supervisees, people who not mark accordingly and award mark appropriately. This is also intellectual corruption. Or you commit plagiarism
by taking something that does not belong to you academically and then claim that it is yours. This is also academic corruption. Or you teach what is wrong. You know it is wrong and you teach it. Or you go to class unprepared and you teach what is actually not in line with the course outline or the curriculum. It's an intellectual corruption. There is social and moral corruption, where people go down to dehumanize themselves, to debase their moral and social character. That is also a form of corruption. Then there is the biggest form of corruption, which is the least discussed in all fora. That is the spiritual corruption. Which if you perpetrate spiritual corruption, then you are doomed in this world and in the hereafter. Because by spiritual corruption we mean not believing in Allah, or not worshipping Allah, or committing sins that would invoke the wrath of Allah on the doer or the perpetrator. I'm not aware of the presence of His Lordship. There is also legal corruption. But I intend not to indicate it as a main dimension, because political, bureaucratic, and economic corruption will take care of legal corruption. Now the Quran has made a lot of provisions and a number of verses will be found in the Quran concerning corruption. I'm happy my teacher, our new sheikh, has mentioned some of the verses that talk about corruption in his remarks. But then, let me mention to us that the word corruption and its derivation with Arabic equivalents as al-fasad, al-ifsad, and al-mufsid appeared 50 times in the Quran. At root, masdar, the word appeared 11 times. Asbab, al-fi'l, corruption occurred 18 times in the Quran. And as doers and perpetrators, ismul fa'il, the word corruption and the doer, that is the mufsid or mufsiduna, occurred 21 times in the Quran. The term was used in general sense, and sometimes with reference to a place, and another time with specific reference to individuals, tribes, or members of a community. Example of the occurrence of the word corruption in the Quran with reference to general sense is found in Surah An-Nahl, verse 88, where Allah says, الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَصَدُّوا عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ زِدْنَاهُمْ عَذَابًا فَوْقَ الْعَذَابِ بِمَا كَانُوا يُفْسِدُونَ. Those who disbelieve and block the ways of Allah, we shall increase punishment for them higher than the punishment that other sinners and wrongdoers deserve for the corruption they suppress or perpetrate. A reference to place. One can see that the Quran beautifully mentions corruption and its meaning with reference to the earth, as in Surah Al-A'raf, verse 56, where Allah says, وَلَا تُبْتِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ بَعْدَ إِصْلَاحِهَا. Do not corrupt the earth. Do not corrupt the earth after it has been purified, after it has been put in order or fixed in order. Also with reference to land and sea, Allah says in Surah Al-Rum, verse 41, ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر بما كسبت أيدي الناس. Corruption has become manifest, has become widespread on land and sea for the evil doing of people. Also, with reference to town, Al-Qariya, Allah says in Surah An-Naml, verse 34, قَالَتْ إِنَّ الْمُلُوكَ إِذَا دَخَلُوا قَرْيَةً أَفْسَدُوهَا. Wicked kings, immoral kings, when they have access to a particular town, they corrupt it. They destroy it, they change everything. Its structures, its systems, and everything. Also a verse with reference to city. That is the last. Allah says in Surah Al-Fajr, verses 11 and 12, أَلَّذِينَ تَضَوْا فِي الْبِلَادِ فَأَكْثَرُوا فِيهَا الْفَسَادِ فَأَكْثَرُوا فِيهَا الْفَسَادِ فَضَوْا فِي الْبِلَادِ فَأَكْثَرُوا فِيهَا الْفَسَادِ. Also with reference to earth and heaven and what they contain, Allah says in Surah Al-Mu'minun, verse 71, وَلَوْ اِتَّبَعَ الْحَقُّ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ إِلَّا فَسَدَتِ السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ وَمَنْ فِيهِنْ. If truth is to be in line with their desire, then the heaven, the earth, and what they contain will have become corrupt. Will have been corrupted. The Quran also talks about corruption with reference to specific people or tribes or communities. As the case with Banu Israel, which one will find in Surah Al-Isra, verse 4, Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse 64. Reference to Ya'juj wa Ma'juj in Surah Al-Kahf, verse 94. Reference to hypocrites, munafiqun, in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 12. And people of some prophets, such as the people of Lut and Shu'aib, alayhi masalat wa salam. Also with reference to Fir'aun in many places in the Quran. And Qarun, our reciter, our Qari, our MSSN Amir, in Surah chapter, recited the Quran beautifully. And you recite Surah Al-Qasas, some verses from Surah Al-Qasas. And one of the verses is about Qarun. إِنَّ قَارُونَ كَانَ مِنْ قَوْمِ مُوسَى فَبَغَى عَلَيْهِمْ وَآتَيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْكُنُوزِ مَا إِنَّ مَفَاتِحَ لَتَنُوءُ بِالْعُصْبَةِ أُولِي الْقُوَّةِ إِذْ قَالَ لَهُ قَوْمُهُ لَا تَفْرَحْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْفَرِحِينَ وَابْتَغِ فِيمَا آتَاكَ اللَّهُ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةَ وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا وَأَحْسِنْ كَمَا أَحْسَنَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْكَ وَلَا تَبْغِ الْفَسَادَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. These are all examples from the Holy Quran. The word corruption also appears in the Quran with different meanings, each indicating behavioral digressions that threaten social, economic, and ecological balance. I have summarized 10 different meanings of the word corruption, al-fasadu, as contained in the Quran. The first example, or the first meaning, is disbelief and shirk. Refusing to acknowledge the existence of Allah or to worship Allah. That is the most dangerous, the most heinous crime that human being will commit. Because Allah is the creator that created all the creatures. So for one to deny Allah, that is the most dangerous thing and the most serious, damaging form of corruption that will ever be perpetrated. Unfortunately, because today we are living in a world of materialism, spiritual corruption is the least discussed in all fora. That corruption is made an issue. In Surah An-Nahl, verse 88, and Surah Al-Anbiya, verse 22, we find examples. Corruption also was mentioned with the meaning of hypocrisy and nifaq, as in Baqarah,
11 and 12.
Allah also mentions fasad, a reference to severing that which Allah has commanded to be joined, especially the issue of joining your tithe, not to sever your relationship with your people. Some of us that are here in Kefi, but have come from different villages, have abandoned their people. They have no concern for them. They sever their ties. They have no business with their own relations. This is another form of corruption, according to the Quran. Read Surah Al-Ra'd, verse 25. Extravagance is another meaning used to describe corruption in the Quran. Extravagance. When you spend illogically, you spend unwisely. Because this wealth, you see, is not yours. Al-malu malullah. It is for Allah. وَآتُوهُ مِنْ مَالِ الَّذِي آتَاكُمْ مِنْ مَالِ اللَّهِ الَّذِي آتَاكُمْ وَلِلَّهِ مِيرَاثُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. So wealth belongs to Allah. You cannot spend it the way you want. You have to acquire it through legitimate sources, and you have to spend it in accordance with what will please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So extravagance, spending unwisely, is one of the meaning of corruption as contained in the Quran. Read Surah Al-Shu'ara, verses 151 to 152, and Surah Al-Qasas, verses 76 and 77. Bloodshed, shedding of blood, innocent blood, and destruction of crops and animals. To shed the blood of innocent people, even if they are not Muslims. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever guarantees the life of another person, and only for him to shed his blood on the day of judgment, I have no business with such a person. Even if the person killed is not a believer. نسأل الله السلامة والعافية. So how can one drive pleasure in shedding blood, in stealing blood of innocent people? Not only that, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that whoever enter into a pact with a non-believer, that they will live peacefully. And then only for him to shed his blood, or to confiscate what belongs to him forcefully, or to place on him a body that he cannot bear, then on the day of judgment, I will stand for the person that was cheated against the Muslim. So the Quran used the word corruption to describe bloodshed and destruction of crops, because even destruction of crops is ifsad fil ard. Destruction of animals is ifsad fil ard. You are corrupting the land. Even chicken, goat, or cow, if not for the purpose of eating, you are not permissible in Islam to kill it or to slaughter it. Just because you want to enjoy slaughtering, or you want to exercise your body, or you want to see how sharp your knife is, you slaughter it, not for the purpose of eating, wallahi, you have done haram. Even mosquito, if not because it has been confirmed that it is injurious, it is harmful, you are not permitted in Islam to kill it. Did you create it? So you can kill it. But the faith has been confirmed that it is harmful and it can cause damage to one's health and so on, so it is permissible to kill it. So the Quran used the word corruption to describe bloodshed, destruction of crops and animals. Read Surah Al-Baqarah verse 30, Surah Al-Baqarah verse 204 and 207, Qasas verse 4 and Naml verse 48 to 51. The Quran also used the term corruption to describe wit al-wala wal-bara. When the Muslims forget about al-wala wal-bara, loving for the sake of Allah and hating for the sake of Allah. If they become so materialistic to the extent that they love, not for Allah's sake, they hate not for Allah's sake, but for the sake of worldly things, then that also is a form of corruption. In Surah Al-Anfal, verses 72 to 73, Allah mentions something like that. Abandoning jihad for the sake of Allah and forsaking the weak is another meaning of corruption, as in verse 251, chapter 2, Surah Al-Baqarah. Stealing or looting from public funds. If you steal from public funds or you loot public funds, then you are also a corrupt person who is perpetrating corruption. The Quran mentions al-fasadu and al-mufsiduna with reference to the issue of stealing or looting from public funds. Remember Surah Yusuf. Remember Surah Yusuf? When the brothers of Yusuf mentioned, declared that they did not go to that town to steal because they are not there to corrupt or to perpetrate corruption. Yusuf verses 70-71. Arrogance is another form of corruption that the Quran mentions. Arrogance. Inna Fir'auna a'la fil ard. Waja'ala a'la shi'a. What did Allah say at the end? Innahu kana min al-mufsidin. It means arrogance. Arrogance, which simply means refusing to accept the truth and dehumanizing people, belittling people, looking down upon people. Because these are the two descriptions given by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Gamtul nasi, batarul haqqi wa gamtul nasi. You refuse to accept rejecting the truth and then debasing or belittling people is what describes arrogance. In Surah Al-Qasas verse 83 and Surah Yunus verse 3. Also the Quran used the term corruption to describe sorcery, magic, witchcraft. Magic will be his sihr. In Allah, sayubtilu. In Allah, la yuflihu amalan. Who? Al-mufsidin. It means their action, witchcraft, sorcery, and magic is what qualified them to be called al-mufsidin. Having said this, next is, what is the Islamic ruling regarding corruption? Islam has zero tolerance for corruption. It has zero tolerance for corruption. As a term that encompasses dishonesty, betrayal of trust, abuse of power, and deceit in both private and public dealings, corruption in all its forms and dimensions is prohibited in Islam. Not only corruption is prohibited, Islam also calls for the fight against corruption in view of its damaging effect on every aspect of humanity. Allah says in the Quran, in Surah Al-A'raf, verse 56, وَلَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ بَعْدَ إِصْلَاحِهَا. Do not spread corruption. Do not spread corruption on earth after it has been fixed properly. Do not spread is what? An-nahy. Isn't it? And this kind of nahy, what does it connote? Litahrif. Because there is no any karina to suggest otherwise. So therefore, wala tufsidu is an-nahy. An-nahy in this sense suggests tahrif, prohibition. Also Allah says, وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْفَسَادَ. In Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 205, وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْفَسَادَ. Allah don't like corruption. So if Allah hates, detests, dislikes something, what is that thing in the eyes of Sharia? Haram. Also, in Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse 64, Allah says, وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُفْسِدِينَ. Allah does not like, does not love corrupt people. People who do corruption. People who spread corruption. Who perpetrate corruption. Corrupt people. Allah does not like them. He does not love them. So if Allah doesn't love you, who you are? And that action must be an action of haram. That is why Allah will say the doers are not loved by Allah or beloved by Allah. Also in Surah Al-Qasas, verse 77, Allah says, Inna Allah ala yuhibbul mufsidin. Well, another verse similar to the one of Ma'idah 64. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam also talked about corruption in so many ways. Of course, most of the statements of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam concerning corruption were in reference to economic corruption. Economic corruption. And to some extent, political corruption. Of course, there are some ahadith which I did not include in this paper that purely suggest spiritual corruption. There are many. In fact, I have come across more than 15 while preparing this paper. But because knowing fully the focus in Nigeria when we talk about corruption is economic corruption, al-fasad al-iqtisadi, so I decided to focus on the ahadith that have a lot to do with economic and some extent political corruption or moral corruption. One of these ahadith is reported by an Imam Muslim that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man ista'amalna minkum ala amalin fakatamna 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 mikhyatan fama fawqahu kana gululan." In another narration, fakatama, fakatama mikhyatan fama fawqahu kana gululan ya'ti bihi yawm al-qiyamah. Whosoever among you is appointed to a position, is appointed by me to a position, and he conceals from us even a needle, a lura, even a needle, no matter how little or big, even a needle or more, he is acting unfaithfully. He is acting unfaithfully and will bring it on the day of resurrection. Where are you going to get it? That needle that you have taken out of corruption, how are you going to get a needle on the day of resurrection? Where will you get it? And how are you going to take it to Allah? How are you going to surrender it back or render it back? Of course, you know you will not have needle. So what will be the consequences? Punishment by Allah, except if Allah in His infinite grace decides to forgive you. Also, in a hadith reported by al-Imam Abu Dawud, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, "Man ista'amalnahu ala amalin farazaknahu rizqan fama akhadha ba'da dhalika fahuwa gululun." When we appoint someone to a public office and provide him with an allowance, salary and allowances that are due to him, not allowances that you would ordinarily want to get. What are due to him by the definition or the requirement of that contract he signed, the appointment letter given to him? Anything he takes beyond that is an ill-gotten gain. It is gulul. Ill-gotten. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam says, "والله لا يأخذ أحد منكم شيئا بغير حقه إلا لقي الله يحمله يوم القيامة." By Allah, if any one of you takes anything wrongfully, he will bring it on the day of resurrection, carrying it on his neck. Also, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said in a hadith recorded by Imam al-Bukhari, "إن رجالا يتخوضون في مال الله بغير حق فلهم النار يوم القيامة." So men abuse Allah's property. Public money, public treasury, public funds, they abuse it. They steal it, they loot it, they mismanage it. They will go to hell on the day of Qiyamah. Also the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Hadair ummali gululun." As a public officer who is in a position of authority to approve or not to approve, gift offered to you is an ill-gotten gain. You are not permitted to accept it because that will affect your decision when you come to approve or not to approve, when you come to review or not to review, when you come to pass or not to pass. What are the drivers and causes of corruption? I have a diagram there, a kind of cycle that contains about 10 elements and things. Each serving as either a force or a driver of corruption in our society. One, unlimited power of leaders. Where leaders have unlimited power, the tendency is if they are not Allah-fearing leaders, they will do a lot of corruption. Lack of accountability and responsibility, which are two important components of good governance. Abuse of rule of law. They will tell you, we know the rule. We know the rule, but this is how we want to do it. Then corruption will take you. Inappropriate sanctions. Even where you have sanctions for those who are corrupt, if the sanctions are not appropriate, are not commensurate with the kind of corruption they commit, the tendency is they will do it again. So there is need for appropriate and appropriate sanctions that are commensurate with the level of corruption that people commit. Immorality. Because only the immoral, people who lack moral training, people who do not want to emulate and copy or exemplify the Prophet ﷺ, who was sent by Allah to complete good conduct. إِنَّمَا بُئِسْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ صَالِحَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. In another narration, مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. So those who decide not to copy the Prophet ﷺ, of course you cannot be like him, never. لكن فَتَشَبَّهُ إِن لَمْ تَكُونُ مِثْلَهُمْ إِنَّ تَشَبُّهَا بِالْكِرَانِ فَلَاهُمْ. Why don't you copy? Why don't you copy? لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. Why don't you copy? سيدنا عائشة رضي الله عنها was asked about the conduct of the Prophet ﷺ, and she said, خُلُقُهُ الْقُرْآنِ. It means if you will emulate and exemplify the Prophet ﷺ, then corruption is not for you. Absence of good leadership, because that is another thing. Absence of good or weak leadership. If the leader is not worthy of emulation, he's not the type that people will learn from him, he's also corrupt, then what do you expect? Is there any blame? Yes, there is blame, of course. But what happens if someone decides to resemble, if someone resembles his father? Did he make himself to resemble his father? So the leader is corrupt. Those that are supporting him, or those that are supposed to guide or to advise him, may also be corrupt. That does not mean, as far as Islam is concerned, that if X is corrupt as the independent variable, Y, the independent variable, should also be corrupt. In Islam, that does not work. It doesn't work. كل نفس بما كسبت رهينة وأن ليس للإنسان إلا ما سعى وأن سعيه خيرا. So you cannot say that because X is bad, Y must be. If you cannot beat them, join them. That is not Islam. Poverty is another driver of corruption. Because poverty is a twin brother or is a younger brother of disgrace. Where poverty has taken or maybe has reached its zenith, the likelihood is rejection. People will reject even Allah. When you tell them to do this, why? Because he is poor, he has been subjected to abject poverty, he has been denied everything. So it's also a driver. Of course, let me mention quickly that poverty of the mind is the most dangerous form or type of poverty, not poverty of material acquisition. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, Al-Qana'a, contentment is not about what you possess, but what you keep in your heart. Because some of the corruptions we see is not about poverty of life. It is not about poverty. Yeah, it is about poverty of spiritual guidance. Financial crisis is another cause or driver for people to do corruption. Bad upbringing. when there is no good tarbiyah, what do you expect? What do you expect if there is no good tarbiyah? Socio-cultural settings is another serious driver of corruption in our dear nation, Nigeria. You are appointed to a position today. Next is the CPP coming to congratulate you. Not to wish you well, but to congratulate you, expecting something from you. If after 6 months, 1 year, you are not able to change your car, the first person to attack you will be your parents, or your wife, or your children. They will be the first set of people to attack you. One of them are the guys you can see. Go away, come on, isn't it? I say, 6 months, 12 months, we are still living in this house. Now this social cultural setting is also contributing in no small measure to the level of corruption we are witnessing. And fundamentally, lack of taqwa Allah. That is why I put it in a separate title. Lack of taqwa Allah. If people lack the fear of Allah, they will go to any length to commit whatever evil they want. Because fear of Allah is the main protector against corruption. And fear of Allah is only possible with iman and with remembrance of the day of Qiyamah. Corruption has a lot of consequences. I'm still not unaware that I was given 10 minutes and I think I have even exhausted them. I don't know who is now the chairman. Is it the... No, I will still have to wait because the second paper has to be taken. But I want to create the indulgence of the chair to kindly allow me to run off the paper as quickly as possible. Corruption has a number of consequences. One of the consequences of corruption is that Allah knows those who are corrupt. Allah knows those who are corrupt. Wallahu ya'lamu bil mufsidin. Allah knows them. He knows them. Their destructive evil deeds are not hidden from Allah and are not hidden from the victims of their wrongdoing. وقل إيمانوا فسيرى الله آمالكم ورسوله والمؤمنون. So people who have become victims of corrupt practices know those who perpetrate corruption. And naturally they will hate them. They will not like them. They will not wish well for them. They will not pray for them, but pray against them. That is the implication. In Surah Al-Baqarah verse 220, Naml verse 48 and Shura, Shu'ara verse 151 to 152. Another consequence is that Allah does not set right their evil deeds. Allah does not set right their evil deeds. Allah will not fix right their evil deeds. Their evil deeds will never become right in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna Allah ala yuslihu amalan mufsidina. Allah does not set right their evil deeds. In Surah Yunus, verse 81. In fact, any claim of meaning good, you know, people when they commit crime or when they perpetrate corruption, they will tell you, wallahi, we mean good. All the siphoning of funds that you see us doing, wallahi, we mean good for Nigeria. We mean good for this association. We mean good for this. Because it's not only Nigeria, even in NSSN, corruption may be there. Don't you think so? Even in the mosque, I pray, corruption may be there. Don't you think so? So they will say we mean good. Which good did you mean? Which good did you mean? Allah denies that. Allah will not accept such kind of claim, such a claim. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ لَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ قَالُوا إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ مُصْلِحُونَ. But did Allah accept that? أَلَا إِنَّهُمْ هُمُ الْمُفْسِدُونَ. Causing to cause so, they are the al-mufsidun. They are. So Allah will not accept their claim. And even their false accusations of innocent people of the same evil. You know, people, when their actions are bad or evil, they tend to think that everybody is committing the same evil. إِذَا سَاءَتِ إِلُّ الْمَرْءِ سَاءَتْ دُنُونُهُ. So when the action of a person is evil, he tends to think that everybody is like that. You hear people saying, Eko wana gautama, giant. That you must be corrupt as he is. وَدُولَ تَكْفُرُونَ كَمَا كَفَرُوا in the case of the disbelievers. فَتَقُنُونَ سَوَاءً. So, such kind of false accusations are never acceptable to Allah. In Surah Al-Ghafir, verse 26, and Surah Al-A'raf, verse 127. Another consequence is that Allah dislikes them. Allah hates them. Allah loves them not. And He does not love their evil acts. وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْفَسَادَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُفْسِدِينَ Baqarah 205, Maidah 64, and Qasas 77. The most dangerous consequence is that bad end awaits them on the day of Qiyamah. In this world, they will not live in peace. They will not enjoy comfort. لأن الإثم ما هك في نفسك وكريه أن يطلع عليه الناس. So you will not like people to know. You will never be comfortable. So people will still, look, and look, but only for them to be afflicted with a disease. Very small, trivial, but it will prevent them from enjoying all those things. In fact, the most delicious food to them, one doctor coming from nowhere will say, Wallahi, in Kachwanam. So say the Allah. He has been prevented from his most delicious. That is another kind of punishment in this world. It's another kind of punishment. Diseases, lack of ability to sleep, no comfort, nothing. Why? Because of corruption, looting, public funds, and the rest. But then, after that, bad end awaits one who does not repent sincerely for Allah. Who does not repent sincerely for Allah until he's dead. May Allah save us. In Arab 86 and 103, and namely, 14, we find this. Finally, Mr. Chairman, let me say that fighting corruption has basis in the Quran and Sunnah. And it is important to reiterate and re-emphasize this time and again. This is because some people will think that, okay, any government, any officer, any establishment, any organization, any family that sets out to fight corruption, perhaps is doing it with vendetta or is persecuting and so on. Islam recognizes the need to fight against corruption. Allah says in the Quran, الَّذِينَ إِمَّكَّنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ أَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَوُوا الزَّكَاةَ وَأَمَرُوا بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَنَهَوْا عَنِ الْمُنكَرِ وَلِلَّهِ عَاقِبَةُ الْأُمُورِ. This is one of the characteristics. These are some of the qualities and characteristics of a good leader. A good leader who wants to uphold good governance. He establishes prayer and commands others to do that. He gives zakah and commands people to give zakah. He commands what is good and forbids what is evil. If corruption is evil, what is wrong in forbidding it? Is there anything wrong? There is nothing wrong. In fact, it's even a duty of the leader to prevent corruption. Hajj, verse 41. Allah also says in Ali Imran, verse 104, وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ يَدَعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنكَرِ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. All a reference to commanding good and forbidding evil. In Surah Hud, verse 117, Allah says, وَمَا كَانَ رَبُّكَ لِيُهْلِكَ الْقُرَىٰ بِظُلْمٍ وَأَهْلُهَا مُصْلِحُونَ. So if we try to fix appropriately what has been spoiled, to block leakages, to stop corruption, what are we? We are Muslihuna, isn't it? Because we want to correct. So Allah will not destroy a community or a society or a people when amongst them there are people who fight corruption. In Surah Al-Anfal, verse 25, Allah says, وَتَقُوا فِتْنَةً لَا تُصِيبَنَّ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْكُمْ خَاصَّةً وَعَلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ شَهِيدُ الْعِقَابِ. Also, talking about the need not to allow evil to permeate our society, but that we should try as much as possible to fight against it. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Unsur akhaka zaliman aw mudluma." Help your brother, whether he is the one committing wrong or wrong is committed unto him. And the Sahaba asked, if he is the one to whom wrong is committed, we know how to assist him. But what if he's the wrongdoer? The Prophet said, hold him, stop him, prevent him, so he will not continue with his wrongdoing. That is assistance. That is supporting, that is the kind of help. So if people are corrupt and they are doing corruption, holding their hands, not allowing them to do corruption, is in line with the dictates of Islam. The Prophet also says, "Man ra'a minkum munkaran falyughayyirhu biyadihi fa lam yastati' fa bilisani fa lam yastati' fa biqalbihi wa dhalika adhafu al-iman." He also said, "Man min 'abdin istara'ahu Allah ra'iyah fa lam yahudha bi nasiha illa lam yajid ra'ihat al-jannah." He also said, concerning leadership, "Innaha amana wa innaha yawm al-qiyamati khifyun wa nadama illa man akhadha bi haqqiha wa ajjala bi 'alayhi fiha." He also said, "Inna an-nasa idha ra'aw adh-dhalima falan ya'khudhu yad 'ala yadayhi aw shaka an ya'ummahum Allah bi iqabih." He also said, "Ma min rajulin yaqulu fi qaumin ya'malu fihim al-ma'asi yaqduruna 'ala an yughayyiru 'alayhi fala yughayyiru illa asabahum Allah min qabl an yadayhi." He also said, "Walladhi nafsi bi yadihi la ta'muruna bil ma'ruf wala tanhauna 'anil munkari aw la yushkanna Allah an yab'atha 'alaykum 'iqaban minhu fatad'una fala yustajabu lakum." All this in reference to the need to fight corruption. Mr. Chairman, I think I have to stop before I am asked to stop. But the last slide contains imperatives for fighting corruption in Nigeria. These imperatives are very important. And if we decide to neglect them as government, as leaders of organizations, as leaders of associations, as imams, as whatever, wallahi, there will be problems. We need to preach with perseverance. To reorient, we need to reorient, because our society needs reorientation. And this can be done through code of conduct that we will actually publish. Pay a minimum wage for people who are working so they will not look or put their eyes on what comes around them or passes around them, except those who have a poisoned mind. Then we should also try to find a way of bringing social security packages to people who are in their need. We have to do whistleblowing by rejecting corruption. We have to reject corruption, all of us, and if need be, after doing nasiha in private, people did not heed to our nasiha, we expose them. Then next is for the judiciary. Prosecution, not prosecution. Nobody should be prosecuted on account of corruption, but it should be prosecuted through legal means. We have to uphold the rule of law without vendetta. And then, wallahi, we need prayer. We have to pray. Because even the Prophet of Allah prayed, "Rabbin surni ala al-qawmi al-mufsidina." If you don't pray, wallahi, against corrupt people, if you don't pray for Allah's support and help against corrupt people, wallahi, they will finish you. They will finish you. They will never allow you to do it. So because of this saboteur, you have to constantly, persistently pray for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to support you, to assist you, to protect you in your fight against corruption. I have to stop here because the MC has been looking at me, dazzling his eyes to me, so I just have to stop. And I think I have even finished my slide except one which I'm not going to read. The paper will go around. It's just some few verses of a point that a scholar actually composed to expose corruption and to actually show its menace and how it destroys a community. Assuming the MC will allow me to read without translating, I will be happy. But I know you will stop here. Finally, I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving this, our Muslim brothers, for giving our brothers and sisters in this great university the where we stand and the courage to organize this symposium, the 7th edition in the series of this Ramadan symposium. May Allah continue to be their guide and our guide. May Allah bless them abundantly. May Allah reward them bountifully. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not weaken their intention
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strengthen their iman and their courage to continue with the good things they are doing. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the full benefit of the symposium and even the subsequent ones that shall be organized in due course. I thank most sincerely the chairman in absentia, my teacher, the Vice Chancellor, His Royal Highness, and other Royal Highnesses, all the members of the High Table, the escort of the Muslim Ummah of this great university, and my brothers and sisters who are now the participants of the audience for allowing me to come this long way. With this, I say, وَسُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمْ وَبِحَمْدِكَ أَشْهَدُ اللَّهِ إِلَّا إِلَّا أَنْتَ أَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
Thank you.